It's good to be back again. How many times have I been here now, Pastor? I don't even know. Five, six, seven. Some say not too many. Some say too much. I don't know. You're stuck with me, though, okay? And I'm really, really, really honored to be back with you guys. This is just one of the highlights of my year coming here. It seems like I come about, average about once a year the last few years, and it really is a highlight of my year, and I'm so honored that you guys are here. We have people that I haven't met yet that are from other churches, I think, and I just want to thank you for coming. It's, you know, in a lot of places, it's rare for people to come to each other's meetings in today's world, and it just shows a unity and a solidarity right here over Shelton when we can get together. Because, you know, I'm not worried about somebody stealing my sheep. I mean, you know, I eat my wife's cooking all the time. She does a good job, you know. But every once in a while, we'll go like Famous Dave's, or, you know, we'll go out to eat somewhere. And you know what? She doesn't get offended if I go somewhere and eat, you know. You know what I mean? It's the same spiritually. And I want to honor the pastor of this house. Pastor Keith is just the most amazing guy. You won't find a better pastor. You won't find somebody with a more of a heart for God, for this community and for this church. He and Heysook and Judy, they are awesome people. And we need to honor them, would you? How many of you know that worship doesn't just happen, you know? This worship team, they are fantastic, but they have put the work in to get good. Not just get good musically, but to get good spiritually. And because you can get up here and do all the great musical that you can do, but if there's no anointing to it, all it is entertainment, and you can go anywhere for that. But they're not here to entertain. We have an audience, yes, but it's an audience of one. We're performing for our Lord and nobody else. Amen. And this worship team exemplifies that. So God bless you. There's other pastors and ministers here. It's an honor to have you here as well. And I pray that, especially for the ministers and the leaders, you guys put out so much. I know, because I'm one of you. And we put out so much all the time. And this is your time to soak it in. This is your time to be refreshed spiritually, emotionally, inside, even physically, because when your spirit is refreshed, it affects you physically. And so, thank you, leaders, for being here, and I just pray that God touches you in a special way. Amen? Amen. Whew! You know, over the years that I've been here, I've come with some good words, and I've come with some tough words, haven't I? And I've seen what God has done in that. You know, you guys have a weekly or a regular time. I have a once in a while snapshot. I've seen what you guys were like 3 years ago. I saw what you're like 2 years ago. I see what you're like now. And there's growth and there's maturity and there's expansion of the kingdom of God that's taking place here. And it's really, really awesome. And so I don't really have a heavy word for you this time. Somebody said, thank God, you know? The Lord told me to remind you of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul is speaking and he says, I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration of power in the Holy Ghost. I just have come here, my wife and I, we've come here to bring edification, encouragement, to strengthen your resolve in Christ, to stir up the anointing that each one of us carry, the unique anointings that each one of us have. I've come to stir that up and to impart maybe some of that into you by the Holy Ghost. It's really special to be here in your midst today. You know, I'm going to be doing something quite a bit throughout the time, and I'll just tell you now, because sometimes it irritates me, but I feel like the Lord wants me to do it this time. You know, It's that thing where the preacher says, turn to somebody and say this and this, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's awesome. Sometimes you want to go slap the bull. You watch the movie Wild Hogs, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes that's spiritual. But I'm going to be saying that quite a bit over the next 3-4 days. And there's a reason for it. Because the things that I'm sharing with you, there's a proclamation that needs to come out of your mouth sometimes to, if you're in agreement with what's being said. What's being said to you, what's being said to the people around you. So if I tell you, turn to somebody and say, understand that I'm asking you to give that as a holy proclamation, okay? And it's not just to keep you awake. You know, if I put you to sleep, just maybe the best rest you've had all week. Amen.
Amen.
We promise not to put a mic in front of you if you're snoring. But I don't think we have much to worry about here, do we? Woo! I'm telling you, God is good. I don't know what kind of a God you serve, but the God I serve is full of loving kindness and tender mercies. He is full of great love for His children. He is an awesome Father, and He does not abuse His children. He is a great Father, better than any human father could ever be. I'm going to talk to you this evening with the title of the message being, It's My Turn Now. That's what we're talking about. It's my turn now. The scripture is out of John chapter 5, 1 through 9. I'm reading this out of the New King James, and it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Pretty cool, huh? Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he had already had that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. So I have come with a word for somebody today. Like the man at the pool of Bethesda, you have been overlooked, crowded out, passed over, outrun, and pushed out. But you're getting ready to get in. You've been like this man, you've been looking at it, you've been dreaming about it, talking about it, and singing about it. But you're getting ready to get it. I can imagine this man staring at the water, watching for the slightest ripple, saying to himself, "Don't miss it this time." For hours and days and weeks and months and even years, he watches the water. Then for a minute, he dozes off. And something caught his attention, and he misses it. Shouts ring out as a once lame man cries out, "I can walk, I can walk." His heart sinks and he realizes, "I've missed it again. Somebody got ahead of me again." So I'm talking to somebody today who has watched other people get blessed, watched other people get healed, get promoted, have their breakthrough, get their new car, get their stuff. And the next thing you know, boom, there they are. And while you're happy for them, with all the natural evidence that you can see, it looks like it's never going to happen for you. I'm talking to somebody today who has watched other people get it. But the Lord says to tell you, it's coming. Do not be weary in well doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not, if you don't give up. Whew. The Lord says to tell you to take the limits off of Him. Don't restrict Him by past methods, past experiences, or past manifestations. God says, behold, I will do a new thing. God is doing a new thing. For years, the sick, the afflicted, and the feeble would come to this pool, and they would wait for a movement of the water. But on this particular day, God chose to move in a different way. Jesus stood in front of this man. Jesus, the Word. Jesus, who is health and healing and blessing and prosperity. Jesus, who is the full manifestation of everything this man ever dreamed of, is standing right in front of him. Yet the man's mind is fixed on the pool. He could believe for his miracle, his breakthrough, but only by the method of the pool. But yet Jesus is right in front of them. Jesus is bigger than the pool. Yes, God's Spirit was in the pool, but the pool was not God. Understand what I'm saying? God is bigger than the last method. God is bigger than the last move. God is bigger than the last anointed song. God is bigger than the last big thing. And He says, according to your faith, be it unto you. For one blind man, he spit on the ground, right? For another, and he took the mud and he put it on his eyes and the guy was healed. For another guy, he laid hands on him. It was different ways, different methods for different circumstances and situations. Don't put God in a box. This man almost missed his miracle because his faith was still attached to the pool. He was expecting his miracle to come from the water. When you need a miracle from God, you have to give God the latitude to use whatever means He wants to use. You got to just take your hands off it and say, God, You're in charge. You do it the way You want to do it. I'm not telling You how to do things anymore. Okay. Some of y'all think you got to help God out. You think God can't do it if you don't tell Him how to do it. You know? We think, God, you need me to pray specific. Let me get out the instruction manual and show you how, the book, Lord, so you know how to do this thing. God knows how to do it. Yes. Your job is not to tell God how to do it. Your job is simply to trust God to do it. Because I've shared with this church before, the minute you figure God out, you don't know nothing. The minute you figure out the way God does it, you're going to find for every way you know God does do it, there are hundreds of ways that He does it that you don't know about. That's one thing that's cool about God. He's got all these different ways of doing it, you know? I mean, if He can say, let there be light, the universe, the biggest bang of all. Let there be light. And according to the Word, He didn't say, let there be light, and then He didn't say, stop. And so, when God said, let there be light, the universe has been expanding at the speed of light forever since He said that. However many years ago He said that, the universe is still expanding at that speed. But it doesn't outgrow God. It's still not bigger than God. Come on, man. How big is your God? How big is He? He's not some little wimpy God. He's not the God from B.C. You know, He's not even the God of A.D. He's the God of everything. You know? Boy, that was a good tangent, wasn't it? Man, God can bless you any way He wants to. God can do it any way He wants to. I remember one time in the Bible, during a drought, this prophet would got in trouble for prophesying. There are people out trying to rub him out. So he's on the lam. He's hiding out at this creek called Cherith. And God takes care of him when he can't take care of himself. And He uses ravens to feed him. You know? So all these dirty birds are bringing food and he's eating it. Now, some of you rednecks out there, you wouldn't have let it gone that far because it meant the raven would have showed up. You'd have shot him and ate the raven. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Don't shoot the source of your blessing if it doesn't look what it's supposed to look like. Somebody needs to write that down. Woo! We're not having raven soup for lunch tomorrow. No, sir. There are some folks that are so caught up on the King James Version of prophecy. We know about the King James Version of the Bible. But what knowest thou about the King James of the prophetic word? If God does not speak to thee in the prophetic King James, it must be a false prophecy. Oh, come on, and get off of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, God can speak to you any way He wants to. He may even get a donkey talking to you. Mm-hmm. God's had a few talk to me before. Yeah, some of y'all got that. Well, it was a good meeting, huh? But you know what I mean? We talk a lot in this church, and you guys have had a lot of training about not being religious. You know, the difference between being spiritual and religious. You know? But we spiritual people got to be careful that we don't get so comfortable that our spiritual becomes religious. Even, you know, the people from the previous generations, man, that wasn't a religious movement. That was a spiritual movement, but they camped on that. And it became religion, and it became legalistic, and it didn't become spiritual anymore. And we got to be careful that didn't happen to us too, you know? Like in the wilderness. Anybody ever heard of the wilderness? It's called Shelton. Sorry, I didn't mean to go there. Hey, I can knock on y'all. I'm living in Portland, you know? Yeah, pray for me. Say it backwards. Wow. Woo, God's good. So, a cool thing about Portland, three abortion clinics have just shut down because of lack of business. In Portland. You know, in Peyton Place, in Sodom and Gomorrah, abortion clinics are shutting down because of lack of business. And several more are on the verge of, and if they don't have demonic miracle money, they're going to shut down too. Yeah. They're not going to get their demonic miracle, huh? Ooh. God's good. Don't miss your blessing. This guy, he was so attached to the pool. His breakthrough had come to his face. And because it didn't come the way he expected, he almost missed it. He was almost like, Jesus, I know you're right here. You're really awesome. When the pool stirs again, you're big enough, you can get me in there first, huh? Yeah. Man, Jesus could just go, boom, and it's done, right? Yeah. But yet we're looking at the pool still. Come on. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Your faith, the miracles, your blessing, your breakthrough, it's here, but it's not in the pool. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's not in your works, but it is in your faith. Your faith has works. Yet faith without works is dead. We know that. But it starts with faith. Activated faith. You can wear yourself out trying to work your way into a blessing or a miracle. You can wear yourself out trying to make it happen, you know? I've learned to just chill out. You know, I don't know if anybody here follows me on Facebook. I had a terrible thing happen a while back, a couple months ago now. I had a serious attack. I haven't been in a hospital in 24 years. You know, I'm a healthy guy. Yeah. Things don't happen to me, right? It rains on the just and the unjust. Yes. It rains in Portland. Rained on me. Had an abscess in my molar. And it started getting worse and worse. Got into my jaw. You know, I'm a tough guy. I have a high tolerance to pain. You know, I just kept thinking, I'll just tough it out. It'll get better. Guess what? It didn't get better. After about 3 weeks of this, my old jaw is swollen up. I need to get my tooth pulled out. And they pulled the tooth, and it just got even worse. And yeah, and I know I'm in bad shape. And I realized, dude, my wife's like, dude, I know you're tough, but it's time to go. So she threw my tail in the car, took me to the emergency room. They took one look at me, threw me in the hospital, and started pumping me full of antibiotics. They said that the infection had dropped out of my jaw. It was affecting my heart, my liver, my kidneys, and a bunch of other stuff. And I was in, you know, and I was in bad shape. If I had been a day or two later toughing it out, I may be toughing it out, right? Lose all my hair or something, you know? Yeah, that ain't funny. You know, God knows every hair on my head, and He's big enough, He don't need a calculator to keep up with it. All you that need hair, fine. If you need it, wear it. Yeah, man. Boom, there it is. But I want to encourage somebody today. Somebody here might be on the verge of quitting just before your miracle is about to arrive. You know, sometimes when you're the furthest away, it seems like there's no way. You're closer to your miracle than you ever dreamed. And I want to encourage you to not give up. I'm not even so much even talking about giving up on God, because if I looked everyone in the eye right now and said, are you thinking about giving up on God? Probably nobody here would say that. Or if you did say that, the person next to you has permission to slap you.
Amen.
Okay? I don't think that's the issue. But we can stay saved and give up on so much that is consistent with God's plan and destiny for our lives. Hold on to the promises of God. You know why God gives you promises? To give you hope. To give your faith something to anchor to. Amen. To know that God does have a plan for your life. I mean, you know Jeremiah 29:11. You know? God has plans for you. Give you a hope in a future, not death, theft, and destruction. Anything that John 10:10, anything that's theft, death, and destruction is of the devil. But Jesus came to give you life and to give it. See, you guys know. It's not always in the knowing. Because when you're in the middle of your storm, can I get real with you? When you're smack in the middle of your storm and everything is just coming up in your face and it seems like everything's being unthreaded and falling apart, the last thing you want is some holy little saint to come up to you and say, oh brother, just hold on to the end, it'll be all right. You just want to haul off with the baseball bat and give him three or four, you know? not where it's going to hurt, just the kneecap or something, you know? But you know what I'm saying? But when somebody comes to you with the word of the Lord, beyond just some synchronous words, but with life and with concern and with love, and says, man, hold on. Hold on to that word. I was with you when that prophecy came to you. I remember what was said, and I know you're in the middle of your battle right now. Hold on. Don't give up. That guy at the gate, at the pool, he had been there for years. He didn't give up. All this time. Man, I'm sure he got discouraged. I'm sure he messed, you know, it's just a bunch of mess for him a lot of times. Nobody was there to help him in. I mean, he done wore out all of his friends. Anybody is willing to sit with him waiting for the water to stir up so that you toss him in real quick. How many of you got a friend you like to throw in the river? He wore all of his friends out. There's nobody left. And he can't get himself down there fast enough, so, but he's still there. Turn to somebody and say, I'm still there. I haven't given up. I haven't quit. I'm still at the pool. I want to say to you, hold on. Faith never quits. Quitters never win and winners never quit. You heard that. You know what the difference is between failure and success? It's just getting up one more time than you fall down. That's what success is. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up every time. Every time he gets up. You can do this thing. Faith never quits. Never runs out. Your money may run out. Your feelings may run out. Your friends may run out. But your faith will carry you through. I can't tell you how many couples over the years that I have counseled that would come to me and say, Pastor, we're thinking about splitting up because the feelings are gone. Is that all there is to it? Feelings. Oh, don't get me into my Vegas mode. Chuck's just wondering if I wear spandex while I do it. No. No Nacho Libre singing. But man, don't worry about your feelings. Don't worry about how you feel. If you gauge things on your feelings, your whole life's going to be the biggest drama roller coaster ever. Feelings come. Feelings go. Feelings come back. Feelings change. You know? One day my wife loves me. The next day she loves me. The day after that, she loves me. You know, it's different every day. Thank God she still loves me. I'll take anything I can get, you know? But don't base things on feelings. As a baby Christian, my spiritual nerve endings were very tender, and man, feelings were powerful to me. As I grew in the Lord, there's still sensory things. I feel, but my feelings go deeper. But my walk with God is not based on feelings, nothing more. No! I'm not looking for a feeling when I get into the presence of God. You know, worship is never supposed to be self-gratifying. That should not be our number one purpose of worship. Worship is to gratify the Lord. If I get a splash out of that, praise the Lord. But the connection between me and the Lord. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. How many of you know that you can bless the Lord? You can be a blessing to the Lord by the way you worship. So many of us want to enter into worship for what it can do for us. That's secondary, or third dairy, or fourth dairy, or some other dairy. It's about the Lord, but don't give up on things. Keep your perspective right. You know? Never give up. Never quit. Never say die. You never know when the breakthrough is going to come. You never know when the manifestation will come. You'll never know when the door will fly open or when the power of God will show up on your behalf and turn the whole thing around. I can give you example after example after example of that. But one of the best examples I can give you of that is your own pastor and this church, New Horizons. You know, they booed and out. Trying to meet in a Grange Hall or someplace, whatever that was. Praise God, there may have been something to help you out. But then, out of the blue, just out of nowhere, seemingly, here comes a church building. Here comes an organization and a great overseer and a whole new circle of odd and strange, bald-headed, fat friends. You know? I don't know if that's a blessing or not, but the rest of it was. But out of the blue came all of this, right in the nick of time. And look what God's been doing at New Horizons in Shelton and with this pastor and this pastor's wife and this group of people. Wow. I'm totally blown away. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. It would have been so easy to say, man, I've been booted. I'm going to go back to 10 buck too. At least I know the mess I'm in there. No, but he didn't put his tail between his legs. He didn't quit. He knew that God had called him. He remained fixed and firm. He remained focused on the call of God. He had a group of people to continue to love and pour into. And the next thing you know, God saw his faithfulness. He had passed his test. And it's better than it ever was before. One of the main ingredients of this man at the pool, his miracle, was his persistence. Though he had missed his miracle time and time again, and he'd watch other people get theirs, he kept coming. He had something that old folks called gumption. It's kind of an old-fashioned way of saying guts or backbone or grit. Gumption made him keep coming. It made him press through the pain. Press through the disappointment and discouragement. Everybody needs a little gumption. Another word for gumption is anointing. Gumption, unction, anointing. Yeah. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Amen. When gumption and unction come together, then you can function. This guy had been in his condition for a long time, but he never gave up. He woke up this particular morning and everything was the same. He went through the same routine as every other day. Made his way down to the pool. What he didn't know is that everything was the same going in. Nothing was going to be the same coming out. Tell your neighbor, it's closer than you think. Some of you here tonight, right here tonight, are not going to leave this building the same way you came in. Before this is over, tonight, somebody's getting their breakthrough. Somebody's getting their miracle. Huh. You think Jesus had just randomly walked down to this place, randomly saw that this guy was there and started talking to him? Wow. You think Jesus was walking through the place looking for numbers? Everybody took a number. What's the newest number? Who's next? Get in. Oh, number 12. Oh, too slow. 13. Too ugly. 14. Too much hair. 15. Too skinny. No! There was something about the persistence of this man that caught the attention of Jesus when it caught nobody else's attention. You don't need to catch everybody else's attention. All you need is to get the attention of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming. I'm wounded, but I'm coming. I'm hurting, but I'm coming. I'm confused, but I'm coming. I'm battling depression, but I'm coming. I'm dragging my leg, but I'm coming. I may even have to crawl, but I'm coming. And to be honest, sometimes you may not even feel like it, and it may be a challenge just to get up and get moving. Some of you almost missed your blessing tonight because of the inner struggle to even come to church. That's one of the biggest tools of the devil, is to throw what my grandfather called Sylvester, I don't know, throw Sylvester at you. That meant, that was code for put the sleep demon on you. Put the tired demon on you about 15 minutes before church, 15 minutes before you're supposed to leave. Boom. Oh. You were fine. Then 15 minutes after church starts, you're still home. Oh, you feel good all of a sudden. What's with that, you know? And then you make it through your day, and some old grandpa from the church calls, "Man, you missed it. You missed it. We had the most amazing service. Sister Sally got up out of her wheelchair. Brother Johnny, he started dancing. That was awkward, but it was good." Oh, the things you missed by not being here. Nobody wants that phone call. Sometimes when you feel like it the least, it's the push-through thing, and you get in there and you realize, man, that was the devil trying to keep me out. I'm not going to let anything get me from getting my miracle. Amen. Are you willing to be persistent?
Yeah.
Are you willing to break through? Because yeah. God has a plan for you tonight.
Amen.
Well, that's my introduction. But the pool method. Some of us still want to revert back to what we know and what we're comfortable with. We want the pool method instead of the open-mindedness to the Spirit method. Jesus will completely bypass some methods, and we know that. But somebody's getting ready to experience some divine favor around here. God picked the one guy out of the crowd that nobody else would have picked. You may think you're the one overlooked all the time. Oh, Brother so-and-so is the one with all the favor around here. He's God's favorite. He's the firstborn. The rest of us are just illegitimate kids. You may feel that way for real. You may feel like, man, God loves some people, and I know He loves me, but I'm not the one that He prefers to pour out His blessings on. But in God's upside down kingdom, you know, it's not the good looking ones, the handsome ones, the intelligent ones. God says He uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
That's why I'm preaching. Whoever would have dreamed, I've shared this with you before, whoever would have dreamed that a drug addict, a little punk kid, a little pothead from Clatskanie, Oregon, just on the other side of the river from Longview, that's where I grew up. Can any good thing come from Clatskanie? That's still debatable, but... But whoever would have thought God would have taken a punk kid that came out of all that dysfunction and all that mess, got him saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, got his legal stuff straightened up with the judge in three different states. Oh, yeah. Whoever would have thought that? Whoever would have thought God would have taken that kid, not only saved him, but called him into the ministry and then sent him all over the world. Would use him to lead around 60,000 people to Jesus so far. It's just the introduction to my life. It's not even into the main body of my destiny. I've got a lot of years left. You know what I'm saying? God will use who He wants to use. You know, I have a great associate pastor in Portland. He was going to come up here, but scheduling changes and something fell through. But he used to live here in Shelton. Yeah. Well, not exactly in the city limits. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, he had free room and board out there for a couple of years or something, you know? Out there just past Omar's place. Not, too bad he didn't just stop at your place, huh? Yeah, he had to go a little bit further. But whoever would have thought that God would take, the Lord would take somebody like that, turn his life around, get his whole family saved, call him into the ministry, and make him an associate pastor. He still has one problem. He rides a speed bike, a crotch rocket thing, you know. I'm working on that, okay? Sport bikes. I feel the anointing now, I'm telling you what. Woo! But God will take the most unlikely people to turn the world upside down. He didn't choose Pharisees and graduates of School of Gethsemane, you know. He chose fishermen. Y'all ever been to the coast? Y'all seen any of those fishermen on the docks and stuff? Yeah, and maybe there's some here. Yeah, right on, man. I grew up with a bunch of gill netters down there in on the Columbia River. Those guys weren't exactly choice discipleship material, you know? If I was the Messiah, would I go down to the docks and start recruiting people to turn the world upside down? You know, didn't come from the cemetery, I mean the seminary. I'm not against education, I got a little bit of it. But education is not the anointing. God looks past the issues and sees the heart. You know? And you may say, well, I'm not qualified to do anything for the Lord. Well, guess what? You're here and you're saved, so that's the beginning. You're qualified. Can I have somebody come do some quiet music, please? Yep. Just real quiet. Thank you. Because it'll encourage you that I might be wanting to stop. But there's an anointing in this house right now. And somebody here needs to know, when you use this terminology, but I think you'll understand what I'm trying to say, that you are not the illegitimate, red-headed, bastard child, the illegitimate child in the kingdom of God. There is no such thing. You're either in or you're not. You're either a child of God or you're not. And you know who God is most focused on right now? The one that is most desperate. The one who's in the greatest need. There's enough of God to go around for all of us. But see, I hate depression. There's people in this house tonight, God has spoken to me and showed me that there are people in this house tonight that battle with depression. And see, the thing about depression is that it will cause you to withdraw quietly, fly under the radar, and go hide in a corner somewhere or you know, become small in the crowd, if you will, or even remove yourself from the crowd in some way because of depression. But the Lord wants to eradicate depression tonight. God is declaring war on depression. And whoever I'm speaking to, you need to know that you are accepted in the Beloved. And you are loved. You do not have to, even, not that you would do it, maybe you are seriously thinking about it, but that you would even entertain thoughts of suicide. No! 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 Let the Spirit of the Lord bring the joy the spirit of acceptance, the spirit of love, the spirit of breakthrough. You see, when we look at ourselves only through our own eyes, all we see is the mess. We need to put our Jesus glasses on. You know what I'm saying? If you could see yourself the way that Jesus sees you, you would never, ever, ever down yourself again. I used to hate so much about my life. I know I'm different. I'm not your normal guy, right? Thank you. Appreciate that. It's not what she said, it's how she said it. Yeah, I get it. No, but I'm at peace with that. I used to hate my personality. I used to hate the way I laughed. I used to hate my physical expressions. I used to hate so much about my life. I was embarrassed to be me. Until years ago, God got a hold of me. And He said, Larry, He asked me two questions. He said, did I make you? I think so. Yeah, you did. Second question, do I make junk? Omar might be a junk collector, but God's not. But He makes a good living at it too. It's the blessing of the Lord on his life. But you know what I'm saying? God has made you, and God does not make junk. You are precious and special and important to Him. Girls, you are His princess. If you could only see yourself like that. If you only knew how God sees you, you would never look at yourself the same. After I had that encounter with God, I didn't get arrogant or conceited about it, but I started thinking I'm okay. You know? If I laugh funny, great. It's me. If I'm an odd duck, quack, quack, quack. You know? Whatever. If I'm going to be me, I'm going to be the best me that I can be, and I'm going to give glory to God. Trust me, folks, if God can use somebody like me, I know He can use you. God loves you so much.